This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Welcome to another Tuesday night edition of Real Racing USA. We're back here live at the Real Racing USA studios. And we got somebody special on the phone with us right now. Brand new show here on Real Racing USA Networks. Scotty Mack. Scotty, how you doing, brother?
Real good, Rick. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man. We're doing great.
You're driving out of this past Saturday night, I hope.
Oh, no doubt, man. What a downer that was.
That was a bummer, man, but hey, we already got that rescheduled, so looking for a great night of obviously some great late model racing there at East Bay Raceway Park. Man, it just hammered. You can see it coming, though, man.
Yeah, we were watching it up there in the tower on the radar there, but, man, we tried everything we could. We got a bunch of racing in. It was a good night, over 40 late models again, man, that dirt track racing. We were talking up in the tower, Scott, and you know how both of us are old-time asphalt guys and how we've made the change over into dirt, and what a change it's been.
What a change it's been is right, man. I remember going to track where we didn't have 12 cars for the race all night long, and now, shoot, man, you know, there's 112 cars out there. So,
and now you're doing, Southeast Dirt Weekly, man. You're doing, you got your own dirt show. What's this?
Yeah, you know, we just, obviously, since I've come on board the Ocala Speedway on Friday nights and then, of course, East Bay on Saturday nights, I figured, I looked around, didn't see anything else happening here in Florida that represented the dirt racing community here, so I wanted to do something to help perhaps bring those guys to the forefront a little bit and introduce some of these guys to many of the people we already know that tune into the Real Racing USA network of channels already. So I thought, hey, let's use this to kind of motivate these guys to get these people involved in the dirt racing side. Of course, just like Rick will tell you, you know, over on the asphalt side, it was kind of, we never really knew what going. So they already got a really big crowd over there, but it's all those guys that we knew from going back over the asphalt side. I want them to know about this as well.
Right, exactly. You know, and what we're also seeing, Scott, and you can attribute to this, we also saw it last Saturday night, a bunch of the guys we knew from the asphalt making their way over to the dirt just like we did.
Yeah, you see it, you know, you wonder, is it a cyclical thing? Is it just something they're looking to have fun with? But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of those guys that are coming over, and more and more that we hear about every single day, you know, a little bit of tidbits coming out. So hopefully we'll be able to have an announcement from one of these drivers, maybe even as soon as this upcoming show, Southeast Dirt Weekly, we may have another asphalt driver that may announce his plans to move over to the dark side as well.
Now, on last week's show, you had Alan Tipton from Arkansas, or actually he's from Louisiana, races out there in the Arkansas AMP series. So your show's obviously focusing on all over the southern United States.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring in some of, you know, people from across the southeast, the places that we've, you know, the states that we've been to and been to racetracks. It's like I heard that you had the promoter from, or the new promoter from A Speedway. I was like, man, I've been there before. Well, I'm going to bring those guys to go to the dirt tracks in here as well, from South Carolina, from North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, Alabama, you name it. I want to talk about those drivers as well because, of course, when it comes to dirt racing, man, it's one of the greatest drivers, especially you're talking about, you know, the 360 series coming here to Ocala and East Bay this coming weekend. Best 360 race in the world, Jason Johnson right there. Of course, Garrett Wright and the other guys representing that series on the national level. And, of course, we have our local Rebel region that's going to be right here in town on both on Friday and Saturday nights in Ocala and East Bay. And, man, Kenny Adams, the Malabar Missile. Shoot, over 250 feature wins right here. So, great field of cars going to be on hand for that. But
hey, Scotty. You know, Scotty, check this out, man. On the show tonight, now, remember, what was it? It was only not even 2 months ago, Ocala Speedway had their first dirt race in 12 years as they went back to dirt and packed a place with 4,000 people, a ton of cars. Tonight on the show, we have Dennis Wood and Phil Hall from from Friendship Speedway in North Carolina, and guess what?
Turning it to dirt.
Yeah, they haven't had their first show yet. They're looking forward to it, but we're going to talk to them tonight.
They've got to be, you know, it's, and hopefully they're going to, I'm sure they're going to have the same response that we did. It kind of takes you back to the grassroots racing feel, whereas I've been talking about, you know, on shows previous, and Rick could probably be able to test. The people in the pits and the dirt side, man, they look like they're having a lot more fun than the people on the asphalt side. And I know when they get out there, it's all very, very serious. And it is. It's really serious. But in the meantime, out in the pits, man, these guys are having a good time out there. And that's really what it's all about. It's grassroots racing. It's old school grassroots racing. I love it.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I noticed, Scott, you know, it might not look that way out on the track, but in the pits and the guys putting the shows together and stuff, this stuff's constantly moving all the time.
It's nonstop action, man, and it's like it's organized chaos. And you know, I visited. I had the opportunity to do Winter Nationals, and you know, you look around there. I look at Todd, and I look at you know Dean, and I think you got to be kidding me, man. How do y'all keep all this together? But somehow they do. But of course, doing it for years and years and years, you have that you know opportunity to get it down and get it down pat like they do. But it is at best organized chaos. But they make it look really good out there on the track. That's for sure. Those guys do. And Ocala the same way. They're doing a really, really excellent job at you know, bringing that same thing to the forefront. So I just find it amazing that they're able to do all this because, you know, Rick, when we did it, man, we would get there at 12 o'clock, you know, in the daytime and sit there all day long, watch practice and everything else. These guys get there 30 minutes beforehand and they practice 5 or 10 laps and then they get after it, you know. So
that's what amazes me the most, Scott. That's what amazes me the most. Like, Saturday night, you know, these guys got late models. They didn't practice. They basically were out there working the track in.
And, you know, Rick, when we were covered, man, people would rent the track the week beforehand, and then they would go 2 days before the race and spend Thursday and Friday there, and, you know, people taking off work, and it just doesn't really work that way in this dirt side, and I just see that it's a lot more enjoyable and it's a lot more economical for these guys. It's obviously the main driving force behind the whole thing, I think, is like we said, man, you can run 30 laps for the same amount of money that you can run 125 laps in.
Well, Scotty, I'll tell you another thing that we're seeing, and we're starting to just get the first inklings of this, but, you know, all of these drivers, and this isn't just a Florida phenomenon. I mean, I've been talking to people all over the country, and this is something that's happening, you know, especially in the southern states, though, a move back to dirt by guys that have been racing asphalt their whole life. And one of the things that we're seeing is that this is putting some pressure on these asphalt tracks to step up, improve their shows, and make them more exciting and add a lot more entertainment value to their shows. And I think that's a good thing, huh?
I think it's a good thing for everybody. Sure it is. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't ever want to go back to an asphalt race again, that's for sure. I love going to Lakeland, and I love going to Punta Gorda, and I enjoy going over and watching races at New Smyrna. I mean, what greater racetracks can you go to than those right here in the state of Florida? You know, the shows have not been what they were previously, I think, and so obviously it will make people say, you know, what do we have to do to get these guys back in here to make the racing more exciting, you know, and to take those extra steps? So sure, I think that added pressure is good for everybody, to be honest with you. I think that it will improve racing no matter what, you know, the series you go to or what style of racing you go to, whether it be dirt or asphalt or lawnmower or motorcycle or what have you. I think it's a great thing, and everybody needs to look at what everybody else is doing. I mean, and say, hey, what works? What doesn't work? And, you know, just kind of take the best of what all works.
So who do you have? Can you give us any insight on your guests for this coming Thursday night on Southeast Dirt Weekly?
Well, we're looking to have Danny Martin Jr. on, and Kenny Adams, Malabar Missile. We're going to hope to have him back on. We missed him last week, so we're going to hope to have him back on as well. And hopefully, like I said, we're going to be talking to perhaps another driver, a very well-known asphalt driver here in the state of Florida. We'll hopefully have him on to discuss perhaps his future in the dirt racing series as he perhaps looks to make a move over from the asphalt to the dirt as well. So
who them girls you hanging out with on your website there, man?
Oh man, them girls! I've been hanging out with those girls all the time, man. Those are my peeps, man. They're my.
Oh boy.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that. girl that Todd had down at East Bay. They didn't know me, but they were saying, "Who's this old man?" But you know, and that's what you're getting. I mean, it's not just the girls. Don't get me that. You know, don't get me wrong. But when you go down to East Bay, it's just like you said, Jackie. You described it exactly right. It's a carnival atmosphere. It's something for everybody, not just a hardcore race fan. You know, you don't have to come out there if you're just about watching 125 laps of racing, because you're going to get all the racing that you can handle. Believe me, it's like Rick said, it's nonstop. Once it starts, it's nonstop. But if you're not that core hardcore of a race fan, you have to do something like East Bay and give those people an opportunity to get out, walk around, see some different stuff, do some different things, have some activities for the kids. It's hard to keep kids involved for, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours at the racetrack. So give them an opportunity to do something different. And so I think it's just like you said, Jack. I think it gives everybody an opportunity to kind of step back, take a look around, and see how they can make their own series or their own project better than what it was before. So I'm looking forward to a great weekend of racing. Like I said, the show is this Thursday night, 7:30 to 8:30, Southeast Dirt Weekly. Jack, you're going to be on with me. And like I said, we're going to have Kenny Adams, Danny Morton Jr., and perhaps another asphalt driver that's going to be making his announcement. He's going to be coming over to the dirt side, as we like to call it. So.
All right, man. Good deal. We'll talk to you Thursday and right here on Real Racing USA, man.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Once again, I am happy to be a part of the Real Racing USA family of networks, and getting ready to tear it up this weekend, Friday night at Ocala, Saturday night at East Bay. Make sure you're there. 360 sprints. Man, it's all going to be happening as the Rebel region of the ASCS series will be making their debut here in the Florida area. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right, we'll see you, Scott. All right, Scotty Mack, man, Southeast Dirt Weekly. You can hear that every Thursday night, 7:30 to 8:30, right here on the Real Racing USA Networks. Real quick, Jack, I want to congratulate Jeff Firestein, our Pandora Jewelers Driver of the Month for March. Thank Pandora Jewelers for sponsoring the hardware in that. Big announcement last night. You can visit them on their website. It's, I believe, PandoraJewelers.com. And congratulations to Jeff Firestein.
Yeah, that's from the Inside Florida Racing guys on Monday night.
Right.
Yeah. So, ready to kick the dirt off, Rick, and talk some serious open wheel and go-kart racing, man?
Sure.
You ready for that?
Sure.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Dan Anderson, owner of Anderson Race Park. That'll be right after this.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Okay, we're back on Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. And with us right now is probably one of the biggest secrets in Palmetto. You know, I worked in Palmetto for years and years and years, never even knew this place was there. Anderson Race Park in Palmetto is a test facility. They test Formula 2000 cars, carts, all kind of stuff. And with us right now is Dan Anderson. Dan, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right, man. Tell us a little bit about your facility.
Anderson Race Park is a 18-acre track on U.S. 41, about a mile north of I-275, and we purchased it in October. It includes a 9,000-square-foot race shop, which houses the three open-wheel teams that I operate, and it also has a one-mile road course test track and 24 detached garages, which we use for some storage, and we rent out some to local carters who use the facility for testing.
Wow.
And how long has this facility actually been there physically?
I believe it was built about 4 years ago. In phases, they built the track and the main shop first, and then they added the garages. I know the people who built it and was aware of it, and they ran into some struggles, and we had an opportunity last summer to make a move on it, and we were very pleased to be able to acquire it.
And, Dan, you use this facility, of course, for your own. You own how many race teams, two or three race teams yourself?
We run three different levels of open-wheel racing, with Formula 2000 being what I would consider entry-level pro racing, and then ProStar Mazda as the middle tier, and then Indy Lights, Firestone Indy Lights, as the top tier.
You did pretty good this past weekend in St. Pete in that
yeah,
class.
Yeah, we had a good time. It was a special time, too, because we're affiliated with Ray Hall Letterman Racing, and I was with Bobby in pit lane when Graham won the main event. Graham is an ex-Anderson Racing driver from 2005. So we finished second with J.R. Hildebrand in the Sunday Indy Lights race, and that was pretty good. And then to see Graham win the race on Sunday was great.
Tell us about what is the give us we have a our audience now, to be honest with you, is not packed with open wheel fans, you know what I mean? So we talk to race fans of all from all spectrums of motorsports. Give us an idea of like what this current state of open wheel racing is.
Well, I guess most people who follow racing on any level are aware that unification has occurred on the top tier, Champ Car and Indy Car, after a fairly long, divisive struggle, have
sure
gotten back together. And long term, short term, that created some issues for all of us, especially on the lower ranks, because our schedules were set, and some of those dates included Champ Car dates, which ceased to exist. So we had a little bit of chaos in the last few months, rearranging our calendars and seeing what would happen. But the bottom line is, long term, I think it's great. I think the reunification will begin the process of getting open wheel IndyCar style racing back to the forefront. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, it was a pretty strong series. And
right.
I like NASCAR racing too. I like stock car racing. I'm an old drag racer myself, so I like all forms of motorsports. But NASCAR has certainly, over the last decade, really pulled away from open wheel racing, and they're both forms are good. They're entertainment on both sides. I particularly like road racing. We do both ovals and road racing, but I love road racing, and I think it's going to be good for the sport.
Now, go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say, you know, the road racing. I'm looking at an aerial shot of the track, and that's quite a road racing course setup over there.
Yeah, we've got a couple of different configurations. We use about half the facility to test the go-karts and the full facility to test the smaller Formula cars. We can't run an Indy Lights car there for a couple of reasons. They're too loud. The neighbors wouldn't appreciate that at all, and it's really just too short and tight. But we build up the F2000 cars. We are the factory team for Van Diemen, which is owned by Elan Motorsports, and we build up and then shake down the new cars before we go racing or testing elsewhere. And, it's proven to be a really nice feature for us. We can complete a car and roll it out the back door of the garage and have somebody shake it down, make sure everything's working right, rather than load up a trailer and go to Sebring or some other place. And we tested Sebring and Homestead and Road Atlanta and a lot of other tracks in the southeast as well.
What's the basic difference between a full-blown Indy car and an Indy light car?
Horsepower. A little bit more than that, of course. Full-blown Indy car has more downforce than an Indy Lights car. We're running about 450 horsepower in an Infiniti V8. Full-blown Indy car is probably approximately 700 horsepower. So it's a bit more of a kick in the pants. But an Indy Lights car can move around, too. I mean, we were just about touching 200 at Chicago last year.
Well, they don't. What do they weigh?
Good question. I think with driver, we're about 1,500 pounds, and I should know the answer to that, but
no,
I don't know.
That's a ballpark. That's quick.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a heavier car than our Mazdas or F2000s, but with the horsepower, you can really get these things moving. It's the 6-speed gearbox. It's a real race car. Dallara makes the Indy Lights cars. They are a very high-end quality piece, not inexpensive. And certainly not when you tag the fence, but they're good cars.
Well, obviously the reconciliation of the sanctioning bodies is going to, you know, should have long-term positive effects for the sport. But, you know, there's another phenomenon I'm sure you're aware of is, like, there are go-kart tracks and karting facilities and programs popping up all over, not just here in Florida, but all over the South.
Very popular sport and excellent training. IndyCar drivers use karting still for training. Ryan Hunter Ray, Bobby Rahal's IndyCar driver, was we had a symposium with our team drivers, and he was explaining to our drivers that he gets out in the shifter kart and for physical training and endurance. He tests all the time in a shifter kart just to keep his stamina up.
Yeah, you know, I know Tony Monica, who does announcing for some of the karting and some of the WKA, and they had an event up at Lowe's where they drew 600 karts. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he said, like, you know, some of the top names of drivers from every form of motorsports, their kids are out there racing in them.
Yeah, we've had, even this year, we've had some drivers come over and shake down karts for us. Guys that are currently Rob Dyson's son, Chris Dyson, who raced in the 12 hours of Sebring, came over and took a cart down on our track. Dan Weldon's been out on our track in the past. Duncan Dayton, who owns the Highcroft ALMS prototype sports car team, was there with me driving shifter carts last week. And, you know, it's a very popular sport. From 5 years old on up, they have carts for all different classes, and great family type of thing to do. And I guess that's where race dads are created, because I get to deal with them when the kids get to be about 16 and they start racing with us.
Sure, there you go.
Sure enough. So what are some of the what do you see for the future because of the reconciliation of the sanctioning bodies?
Well, let's hope that that the fans start paying attention more, and certainly that'll bring the sponsors back. Open wheel racing, as all forms of racing, is expensive, and it's a great platform, great venue for sponsors to get their message out, and a great place to entertain hospitality arrangements at tracks. I don't know if you guys were up at St. Pete this past weekend. Terrific event. We had sponsors up there, and they were entertaining their clients in our hospitality awning, and if we can get the sponsors back into the sport on a greater level, that's going to be good for all the drivers coming up through the ranks.
Perhaps some better television packages and so forth?
Would not be a bad idea, although IndyCar packages is pretty decent. But we need to take away the buy-the-rides. And even on the top levels of open-wheel racing, there are still drivers that are driving because they either brought a significant amount of their own money or a significant sponsor they brought along with them. And it's better, in my mind, if the true talent rises up to the top through the Stepping Stone series, and that's more easily accomplished if a full budget isn't required by the driver.
You know, what do you think the fan base is for the Indy-type cars?
In terms of demographics?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a blue-collar contractor, and I like it a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I like all forms of racing. You know, I don't think it's the sports car prototype series, I think, has the reputation and is probably more of a wine and cheese set. IndyCar racing is a high horsepower car. It's daring. It's
exciting.
Adventurous,
right.
Exciting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a particular demographic. I know all kinds of different people. You know, everyone thinks stock car racing is strictly rednecks, and you know, I'm from New Jersey. I'm no redneck, and I love it.
Right. Exactly.
I think there are generalities, but I think if you like motorsports and you like speed, there's something there.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of people like myself. I was always, a television fan of open-wheel racing and never was of stock car racing at all. But the split up and the confusion and chaos that surrounded all that, it kind of took my interest away.
Kind of soured it a little.
It did. It just confused me a lot about the whole thing. I'm excited about it getting back to where it was.
And hopefully we can get some names. I mean, some of the sons are coming up now, but, you know, it was great when you had Boyd and Andretti and Dyke and these guys all running around, and, you know, their kids are coming up through the ranks now. But the fans, I think, really want a hero or star, maybe a renegade like A.J. Foyt is a fun guy to watch race.
Well, wasn't it very exciting just a few years ago when Andretti was about, I mean, he had a chance to win that whole deal at Indy, and that kind of racing, man, that was exciting. And just the
Indy's always
the drama that this kid could pull this off, that made that a big deal.
Indy is such a whole different day game.
Oh, it's great.
I love Indy.
He raced at Indy last year for the first time with the Indy Lights cars. And to stand on pit lane and look at that scoring pylon as our cars were out there doing single car qualifying, it's immense. It's a fabulous feeling.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your next big event that you guys will be tackling?
Well, we race the Indy Lights team is actually heading to Indianapolis today. We have an open test on Friday on the big speedway, and we go right from there out to Kansas for our next race. That'll keep the Indy Lights team busy for the next month or so. My F2000 and Mazda teams are, as we speak, both in Kershaw, South Carolina, at a road course for 2 days of testing tomorrow and Thursday. And next week, the F2000 team opens their season at Virginia International Raceway. Mazdas go to Salt Lake City, Miller Motorsports Park, in early May. So we're traveling all over the country.
Yeah,
and, a lot of great places to see, a lot of good facilities.
That's cool. Now, are you looking? Are you, for your teams? Are you looking for new drivers from time to time? And how does that whole thing work?
Good question.
Yeah,
we are currently running 11 cars total. 5 cars on the F2000 entry level, which, in a baseball analogy, would be A ball. 4 cars on the Star Mazda double A ball level, if you will, and 2 cars on the Indy Lights level. We start our testing actually even before the seasons are over for all 3 classes of cars for next year. And we run testing programs for drivers who would like to get some seat time this year before they commit to a full season next year. But hopefully by Christmas, we will have the 2009 lineup set. And ideally, our F2000 drivers, or at least some of them, will take the step to the next rung next year, and the Star Mazda's drivers will take the step up to Indy Lights. That's what we're trying to develop, an experience where a kid can come out of karts. We have a couple of 16-year-old kids in our F2000. Actually, we have one in Star Mazda this year, 16 years old. We want to get them up to Indy Lights by the time they're 18 and see their career blossom. Graham Rahal is 19 years old. He drove one of my Star Mazdas in 2005 when he was 16.
Wow.
Did a great job.
Well, you had touched on this earlier about letting the true talent rise to the top. And in correlation to the stock car world, we're always talking with folks about this, and we don't really get any disagreement. it's pretty widespread agreement that the best drivers, the best 43 stock car drivers, are not out on the track on Sunday,
right?
Because there's a lot of people in there that are not the best of the best. And you know, how can you make it? How do you get it? So that this has always been a big question of mine: is how can you have this thing where, like, as in other sports such as football, it doesn't matter. I mean, you might play on the high school team because your dad's the coach, but there's a point where that goes away, and you got to do it on your own, man.
Yeah, that is one of the negatives of racing on the big time level, and it is because of the money involved, which is why the more we get fans involved and sponsors involved, the show then churns enough money to let the teams go out and search for talent without a desperate need for money on their own part.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And that's, we're running over $1 million a year payroll on our teams. Somebody's got to pay that bill. I'm a contractor. I need help with stuff like that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's, really appreciate you taking the time to spend a few minutes with us.
I got
us.
A quick question.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
So who's your next up-and-coming star?
Oh, that's a dangerous question because I've got a lot of good drivers, and if I pick one...
Well, how about this? How about we get with you and maybe we'll get some of these...
Yeah, get a couple of them on.
Get with these young up-and-coming guys and have them come on our show and get some publicity going.
Get some insight.
You should do that. I've got a pretty international group of drivers. Norway, Gibraltar, a couple from the UK, Ireland, Venezuela.
Wow.
Naturally, four or five Americans. Mexico. We have a 16-year-old girl from Mexico, Juliana Gonzalez, who is... about as aggressive a driver as I've seen in years.
Really?
We have to rein her in. She goes deeper into the corners and attacks and sometimes goes off the course. But
and what's she race?
She's racing Star Mazda.
Star Mazda.
She's in the middle level.
Yeah.
She raced F2000 last year because she told us she was 16 last year. And then she told us that she really is 16 this year.
So she really is aggressive.
I don't know how old she is. She might be 18, for all I know. I really don't.
She just wants to be in the car.
She just wants to be in the car, but she's a talented young woman. And we have a 17-year-old fella, Tom Gladys, who actually lives in Venice, Florida, as well as Gibraltar. And he came over from racing in Europe last year, and he set fastest race lap in the opening race in Sebring, and... he's up with the team testing right now. He's a guy to watch as well.
Now, you're up in New Jersey right now. Do you stay in Florida at the facility, or do you stay in New Jersey?
I was down in Florida for the last 2 weeks because we raced at Homestead, and then a week later we raced at St. Pete. And,
yeah.
I flew back to New Jersey yesterday. Next week I'll meet the team at Virginia.
Yeah.
Skipping the test this weekend.
So you're traveling all over. All over the country.
I'm running up frequent flyer miles, that's for sure. But it's a heroin addiction, racing. You know.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You need that needle in the arm every week.
That's cool, Dan.
But we definitely want to get some of your drivers on, Dan.
That's
There's
cool.
no doubt about that.
You should, and I'd like you guys to come by the track. I mean,
that'd be great.
Far away from where you are.
Right.
We'll put you in a couple of carts and see if you guys can drive.
I'd love to
that's
do that.
That's okay.
Yeah,
we could do that.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
All right.
We'll get back with you. That's a good thing. Thank you very much for spending some time with us, Dan.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right.
And we'll talk to you again real soon, Dan.
Okay, take care.
All right. Dan Anderson from Anderson Race Park right in Palmetto, Florida.
It's just south of Tampa, Florida, actually, so I put it on the map. And it's a huge facility out there. It's, was sitting out there in the... How many people said, hey, they're building a big circle track out in Palmetto?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, remember that? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Just south of Tampa, Florida. Imagine that. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Friendship Speedway. I think that's where we're going. Who knows? We might go to Tennessee. We got some things going on in Tennessee.
We got stuff going on everywhere.
We'll be right back.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Well, now that we turned the mics up, we're all live and cooking now.
All right.
Nobody actually heard anything you said there, Rick.
Well, I was babbling anyway. Maybe they heard me in the background or something.
But anyway, we're going to go away from the open wheel ranks back to some stock car racing. And Jim Crabtree, Super Cup driver, welcome to Real Racing USA.
Thanks for having me.
Now, where are you located?
We're in Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana. Oh, my.
We literally do go everywhere.
Amazing. So now you've been racing, from what I understand, from Skip Wall was Southern Motor Racing was explaining to me that you're racing in the Super Cup, but you also own Hooters cars. You've raced in the Hooters deal too.
Well, no, actually we're not this year. We have three Super Cup cars, and we just wasn't financially able to switch the bodies over, for the mandatory rules this year, so we're no longer running the Hooters.
Oh, but you used to is what I was saying.
Correct.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a little more of an affordable deal?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot more affordable. It's a lot less stressful. When you go to the racetrack, you're going to get to race, so that makes for the day be a lot better. You don't have as much stress put on you, so a lot more fun.
And of course, the Super Cup cars are based on the old Hooters Pro Cup steel body machines, that's what I understand.
Right, yep. If it's ever been legal in Hooters, you're allowed to run it up until the new body rule. So,
now, Jim, actually, how much would it cost to change the car over?
I think those 5-star bodies are, right around $5,000, and then, you're going to have to either pay someone or you're going to have time putting it on and painting it and lettering it, so I don't know. You could probably get $6,000-$7,000 and something like that, just putting a body on one car. So.
And going to one race, and we know that Hooters Pro Cup racing is some serious beating and banging racing.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be investing money in a body all year on top of any other mechanical parts you got.
Right.
So that's a tough one. So now, what do you think about this this new series?
It's a good series. It's just like with any new series. It's just going to take a little while to get it going, but I'm really impressed with, I think they got, 23 or 24 cars, people already registered, and it's early in the year, and I think that's real good, and there's a lot of good drivers there too, so, and you're getting a lot of the guys that, kind of in the same boat that we was, couldn't really afford to, switch the bodies over, and when you got a race car sitting there that has a good body on it, and I'm really glad they got this series started, because otherwise these cars, they'd have pretty much been worthless. So we just had to parted them out, or, they just have to set until, something like this comes along to be able to race them. So I'm very happy for for the whole deal, and Joe and all the guys that got this started. So I think it's going to be a good place for a lot of guys to come race.
Now, you've had, what, one race so far this year?
Yeah, Tri-County.
Tri-County?
Yep.
And is that the one where you were leading it and your motor had a problem or something?
Well, we was fast time, and then I think we had just took the lead from Dexter, and then the caution came out, so that put us back to second. But then, I don't know, about 20 laps into the race, we broke a motor, so that was a short day for us.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. That's the one Megan Rednauer won.
Yeah, she did real well. There was, I was sitting there in the pits and watching the race, and, I don't know, I probably a whole handful of different cars that I thought at one time or another, was going to win the race. So it wasn't like one person just got out there and dominated. There were several people that had a chance at winning.
Yeah. So where's the next event coming to?
We're heading to Newport, Tennessee, Newport Speedway this weekend.
What is that track like? I'm not familiar with that one at all.
Well, when we was on our way back home, we stopped and took a look at it, and it's a fairly high bank track. I think it's 4/10 a mile or something like that. So it looked like a real nice track. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to go race at.
Yeah. Yeah, all them tracks up there in your area, or not in your area, but in Tennessee. We were joking about that a few weeks ago. It's like you get up in Tennessee, Kentucky, they build them in the mountains, so they're all banked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut them right into the mountain.
We're close to Winchester Speedway and Anderson Speedway. I don't know if you're
familiar. Oh, yeah. So there you go.
They're high banked, so, I mean, that's what we like. So.
Yeah, it makes these cars easier to go around.
It makes them handle a little better.
Right. Now, what do you think about keeping it at the 100-lap level?
That's fine. You don't have to take as many people there, so that keeps the cost down. You're not having to do live pit stops, and it's a lot less wear and tear on the car and the engine and everything, brakes, just everything. It's a good deal.
And it seems like the towing's not near as bad as in the Pro Cup Series.
Well, for us, it's far anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
We have a few races, Columbus and Kilcare, that's fairly close, but the other ones was kind of far off. And in the Hooters Series several years back, they have, their northern division was actually, it seemed like it was a north division to me then. There was a lot of races up close to us, but then here the past few years, they've gotten kind of far away. So hopefully maybe next year he'll get some more up this way. And I think he was just kind of talking like wherever, the biggest car count wherever they come from, if it's, Ohio, Indiana, he'll try to get more races up in this area for next year. So if anybody's listening and they have cars, from Indiana, Ohio, up in this area, we need them to come race. So.
Yeah, I know, down here in Florida, we got several teams down here that have the cars that are interested in this. You say you got three cars. Do you run all three, or are you just running one of them?
Well, we're just running one right now. The other two, we still have to get engines put in them, but, they're real close to being ready, so.
Now, these cars, they were always Hooters Pro Cup cars? They weren't Busch cars or anything before?
Right. They were just old Hooter cars.
There's a lot of those cars out there. I mean, a lot of them.
Several, yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a great idea, the Super Cup Stock Car Series. Of course, the website is supercupstockcarseries.com for more information and the schedule and everything. And it's got to be a blast watching these cars go around these high bank ovals for 100 laps.
Yep. Like I said, there's a lot of good drivers, and if any of these races that we go to, there's not going to be one set person, I don't think, that who's going to be a favorite. I mean, there's several on there that could win the race. So that's what makes it interesting.
How long have you been racing, Jim?
I've been racing since I was 17, almost 20 years.
You're what they call a veteran.
That's right.
A veteran.
That's right.
What
wore out.
Yeah. Where'd you start? What are some of the what did you do before you got involved in the Hooters? We got to that level.
We started in mini stocks and the four cylinders, ran those for a few years, and then we ran late models and sportsman modifies. But before we started running Hooters, we ran the it was originally started out the K Kendall Late Model Series, and then it went to the Sunoco Super Series,
sure,
the CRA Series. And we still have Late Model. We run a few of those races a year.
With the CRA?
Yeah.
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 And we're going to have one of their drivers on a little bit later. We're talking with R.J. Scott from CRA earlier today. We're going to have Johnny Van Doren on later today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good shoe.
Yeah. And so what's it like? What is the current state of stock car racing in Indiana? I mean, I know a lot of places where around the country it's a little bit of a struggle the last few years to get cars and like that. Is that the same thing in Indiana, or is it?
Yeah, it's not good right now. You know, I don't think it's good anywhere. It's just, you know, people have race cars sitting in their garage, but that's not the problem. The problem is getting to the racetracks, you know, when it's the price of gas and everything else is just so high, it just, you know, makes it tough on guys to get their equipment to the racetrack and, you know, getting all their crew in. And I think that's what's really hurting it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the expenses are tough.
Right.
Yeah. So are you pretty much self-sponsored operation?
No, we got, I need to thank Macquarie County Funeral Home, and they're in Wintley City, Kentucky. They've been helping us for, you know, quite a while, and then we just got a new company coming on board for this weekend. I think they're going to help us the rest of the year, Bluegrass Oxygen, and he has several locations in Kentucky and I think one in Ohio. So, and then, you know, we have, you know, our family business that helps out, but we're just kind of small, you know.
Yeah. You go out and have fun.
That's right.
That's what it's about. Yeah. Rick, who was that? Wasn't there a dirt late model driver we used to, long, long time ago? Young
Thomas Ware.
Thomas Ware. He was called the Undertaker because he was sponsored by a funeral home.
It was
home.
Actually his family's funeral home.
Yeah. And they called it, he was a dirt late model racer. He called him the Undertaker.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got one of his T-shirts. So.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a mini modified or like a Pro 4 car years ago, and it was a mortician. And it said the friendly Undertaker on the car.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, thanks for stopping by and talking with us here on Real Racing USA. Of course, we follow the Super Cup deal, and you know, our buddy Skip Wall goes to as many races as he can, especially in the Carolina area, and covers that for the series as best we can. And I wish you the best, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
All right. Great talking to you.
Thanks.
All right,
man. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, they got, like you said, they got these race cars, and I mean, you can't sell them because they're not good for anything else, you know, besides stripping the body off, and that's $7,000. Three cars he's got.
Take up space in people's garages.
15 grand, so you're looking at almost another race car just to put the bodies on them.
Isn't that what they do with these swap shops? I mean, is that what that's about or what? No?
What's that?
Well, these people sell their parts. They sell cars for parts.
Swap meets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strip them down, sell them for parts. Is that what they do?
Yeah. Yeah, some of them do. Some of them, you know, that there's nothing else you can do with the cars, really. Once again, I was talking about when Jack didn't turn our microphones up, Southern Short Track Racing. Wanted to congratulate Earl Pearson Jr. from Jacksonville. Winning up there in Brunswick, Georgia, $10,000. Winning it on the last lap from Scotty Bloomquist.
How about that Shane Williams again?
Yeah, Shane Williams. Man, he's got that place mastered up there.
Oh, yeah, he does. He did it again.
Yep. And, of course, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series was rescheduled. We'll be back in East Bay April the 26th. April the 19th, we'll be at Southern Alabama Speedway.
All right, Rick. Look, man, I hate to interrupt your news story, your Paul Harvey news stuff over there, but
and that's the story.
You know, we started off the show. We were up in New Jersey talking open wheel racing, real open wheel racing, and bounced out to Muncie, Indiana. We're going back down to Valdosta, Georgia, or somewhere thereabouts. Dennis Nixon from South Georgia Motorsports Park, man. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How about y'all?
We're here.
We're having fun.
We're having fun, are we?
We're having fun.
Well, so, that's good.
Yeah. So what's the latest and greatest from South Georgia Motorsports Park, man?
Well, I guess the latest and greatest, we got a lot of things coming up. We did have a super late model race scheduled for this coming up weekend, but Mother Nature kind of pounded on us last week, and we've had to do some rescheduling and all, so we're going to reschedule the super late model race for a little later on. So we're actually going to have our regular show along with our SGMP Pro Late Models this weekend. And then on the drag race side, we have got the Simdra people coming this weekend, and that's the Southeastern Motorcycle Drag Racing Association. So there'll be some, you'll get two for the price of one. You'll get to watch motorcycles go down the drag strip, or you'll get to come see some great oval track action on the circle side.
And what kind of bikes do they run?
Oh, my gosh. See, they have got, I think, seven different classes, and from street bikes all the way up to pro bikes. So they'll have a little bit of everything. I think they said that the one class will run a little over 200 mile an hour and a quarter mile.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've been one of the things we do is we cover on Real Racing USA is with Stevie LaTemp, who's the announcer for the All Harley Drag Racing Association, and we have a lot of those guys on our Straight Line and with Stevie show. Them guys are nuts. I'll tell you what, we've covered all forms of motorsports, Dennis, in the last 10 years, and Rick will attest to this. We have never run across the crazy factor like with them guys.
Oh, my gosh. We had the week prior to Gator Nationals, we were having a big event, and we had Karen Stouffer there, and Angel Sampei was there, but Spider-Man was there on his Top Fuel bike, and he broke a 9-year-old world record. He ran a 5.71 quarter mile, 200 and I think it was 45 or 54 miles an hour, and that is a nitro-burning crotch rocket.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you get up, people never seen that. I mean, it's off the charts. I mean, I went to Rockingham last year and caught those guys, the All Harley Drag deal.
Yeah.
And and I had press credentials. I'm up close, right on the starting line there, taking pictures. Whew, man,
it's insane.
It's insane.
It is. I mean, they don't steer it. They point it and just hang on. And
two wheels come off the ground. There's not even any wheels on the pavement sometimes.
No, his first pass was a 5.86, and he was down there, and we're all kind of cutting up, and I'm like, man, what is this? And he said, oh, man, I'm going to break a world record before the night's over. And I thought, better you than me because you ain't tying me on
there. I always wondered how they held on.
Hey, you know what? Most of those bikes, like Angel's bike and Karen and Matt Hines and all that, they have like six Zeus fasteners that hold the body on that they actually sit on. And I'm like, I don't know if I want six Zeus fasteners holding on when I'm sitting on to keep me on something doing 200 mile an hour. But
No.
They do it, and it's wild. I mean, it's. I've been involved in racing all my life, and been with some manufacturing companies that made parts, and been to some of the drag race stuff. But when we had Bernstein do a 8-mile pass, he ran 3:14 in the 8. And we were talking about some of the stuff, and I'm like, how do y'all even figure out what kind of horsepower these things have? And he said, well, there's no dyno that does, but we figure it's somewhere around 1,000 horsepower per cylinder. And I'm like, yeah, here we go.
Could you imagine them trying to put one of them things on a dyno?
Oh, it's just, and they're sitting there talking about, I had to pedal the car, it shook the tires, and I'm like, it's 60 feet, 200 mile an hour, and it shook the tires, and you're pedaling it. Okay, no problem. But anyhow, we've actually got that motorcycle drag taking place this weekend, and the following weekend we have the Lucas Oil Nationals. So just
drag cool.
Racing, it gives you a whole new perspective of the motor things and stuff like that. And then at the end of the month on the 26th, we have our SGMP Pro Late Model 100 lapper. So we're just working on different shows, and we're doing a lot of shows that the same night you get to do drag racing and the circle track, trying to give some people a bang for their buck, because with $4 a gallon fuel and stuff like that, it's hard to it's go tough. To many places.
Yeah. Now, is that your own local racing series there that you were talking about?
Yeah. That's our own local series. It's so hard for these traveling series any, you know, right now, especially with all these different motor rules and this, that, and another, and trying to put some of these things together, and fuel being $4 a gallon. And
he had to do it, Rick. He had to do it.
What's that?
He had to do it. You heard what he said.
What?
All these motor rules. You heard?
Oh yeah, all these motor rules.
He couldn't let it go.
I tell you, it is. It's a promoter's nightmare. You know, they've got the body thing and all that stuff in check. You know, with the ABC body.
Sure.
The motor thing. You know, and I'm not. The most aggravating thing is, you know, this pro late model deal. It's supposed to be a crate motor that you go to GM and you buy for, you know, $5,100. But what happens is, you know, racers are racers. Well, they take them to somebody and they buy a bolt kit. And the next thing you know, now they got $12,000 in a motor they're supposed to have $5,000 in it. And it starts there. And then you get in the super late model stuff. It's right back up in the same thing again. You know, it's
claim rule.
It's the claim rule.
Now, how is it? Explain in a little bit of detail here. How is it a promoter's nightmare? So that the fans, there's a lot of people paying attention to this, like, who don't really understand, you know, necessarily the mechanical aspects of it. But how is it a promoter's nightmare?
You know, we're there to put on a show. And of course, you want as many cars and you want to be competitive and everything like that. Well, when you're having to figure out what car has to weigh this because it's got this kind of motor or it does this and it does that, and you end up trying to massage everything so that you have a good field of cars.
Without running off other people.
Exactly. And you know, you don't want your, you know, my big thing is I want to support my guys that support me every week. So when these shows come in, I want them to be able to run with them. But you got 9-to-1 motors, you got flat top motors, you got steelhead motors, you got spec motors, you got field motors, and you're like, you know, and
them damn Florida motors.
Them damn Florida progressive motors.
Well, it's not just there. I mean, it had me so aggravated. I said, well, I can cure this. We've got the capabilities of manufacturing plates, and I said, I'll make a plate for a 383-inch motor, and I'll make one for a 377, I'll make one for a 362, and when you come to this track, I don't care what you got, but this is what plate you're putting on it, and we're done. You know, but that's not the answer, you know. It's not going to be an easy fix, and the way I look at it is, until they turn around and say, okay, here's the crankshafts, here's the manufacturers, this is what they have to weigh, these are the steel rods, no exotic stuff, I don't care what length, here's a flat top piston, here's your head, you know, be a Dart, World Products, a GM or whatever, these are the heads you're allowed, here's aluminum intake, this is the carburetor you can run, and let them put whatever camshaft they want to put in it, and then you can do away with trying to put chips on them and do this and do that, because then everybody knows, and then let these motor builders build them and feel them, and then make them accountable for them.
My question is, on what you were saying there, who has control right now? The engine builders or the promoters? And who should have control?
Right now, I would tend to say it's more on the motor builder side as far as the control of it. But as promoters and everything, you know, you're trying to mix and match all these different motor programs together so that you can have a field of cars. I mean, if you turn around and look at some of the places that things happen, you got 14 cars, you got 20 cars, you know, that kind of thing. Well, those 20-car fields don't pay purses.
No.
You know, and 20-car fields, people don't come to the racetrack to see 20 cars.
Now, I did notice that, and I don't know, you know, I must admit, I'm not totally up on the past series, but I did notice, like, their big event earlier this year, they had a really good car count, and I also noticed the ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour has had two races now. They had pretty good car counts, 36, 38 cars.
Yeah, and that's what it takes to make the things work. And for us, you know, yeah, if you can have 25 to 30 cars show up, it makes a good race. The fans get their money's worth, and it's straight across the board. But when you turn around and have these shows that have 12 cars and 16 cars, and, you know, the one, you can't afford to pay a purse worth a hoot, and those guys can't afford to come up the road because they got to pay $4 for fuel, and it's just like a double-edged sword. But the motor thing, until they make these motor builders accountable for what they're doing and put them on a pretty even playing field, it's going to be this way. You know, you're going to have all this stuff going on with different weights and different this, and, you know, it's, and the thing about it is, and I don't agree with some of the stuff, because you can make a dyno read anything you want. You know, you can change.
We've heard that.
You know, you can put a little bit more air or a little cooler air to it, and it makes it, you know, you can change the load on the thing. And you know, they've had these conversations where these motors have gone to these motor builders and had them, you know, gone through the dyno, and this is this. And personally, if
that didn't settle anything.
It doesn't. I mean, if they want, I mean, I went to New Smyrna 2 weeks ago to see how a couple of the different motors worked. And that's where you see what's going on is actually on the track. But, you know, if you turn around and, like the deal at New Smyrna, all of a sudden the guy starts out on the outside pole, gets gone, everybody else is having to work their way through. Most of the laps were within a couple of tenths. You know, I caught them in the 90s and the O's in the first and second place, but it ran 50 laps green flag, and you had a straightaway lead on it. If it ever had a caution, it would have been a different deal, but it's a promoter's nightmare right now as far as this motor thing goes.
Well, and especially at, like, your tracks, I think it affects, I would think, that it affects your track and the big half mile and bigger tracks a lot more. Like, what we've seen is like at the bull rings, you know, smaller 3/8 and smaller, they're running pretty much, a lot of people are just running, it doesn't matter what you bring. And those are pretty competitive across the board, because the big, it doesn't matter so much about motors, you know, you got to be able to turn.
Yeah, exactly. And our track, we're more handling place. Our track's actually a D shape. The back straight way straight, and then you go into 3 and 4, and it arcs out to the flag stand, comes back in 1 and 2. So in our place, a motor isn't as big an issue as like a New Smyrna.
Right.
You know, New Smyrna, if you got a kicker, you're gonna go.
Now that it's paved, look out.
Yeah, you know, and then you take Lakeland, because along straightaways, it's kind of a motor place, but if you tote the mail down the straightaway, you've got to get on the brakes to get it through the corners. So.
Yeah, more and more people are telling us. We've had several drivers. Choquette was one, I believe.
Right, yeah, that track is wore out.
It's wore out. And as a matter of fact, in the wintertime, they always point to the one example there of Eddie Hoffman, who ran his crate motor in the super race because that's all he had, because he blew up the other one or whatever, and he did pretty darn good.
Yeah. I think he ended up third or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was in the top three.
And that's, but then see, that crate motor there, how much of a real crate motor was it?
Exactly.
I have had, you know, I've talked to a lot of drivers, you know, at all up and down the scale. You know, the guys with money, the guys without money, you know, guys in between. The stories I hear, I mean, it's the stuff, and I don't know, you know, you never know, not necessarily that people are lying to you, but, you know, people's perceptions of things are all different. And, man, the stuff I hear, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I'm told, and I've been told this by more than one guy and about more than one engine builder, that you can pretty much buy what you want.
Oh, you can. You can call any of them, and if they're messing with crate motors, they'll go, oh, well, this crate motor here is this.
Yeah, you buy it. Yeah, yeah. How much you want it cheated up?
But now, if you want a good crate motor, it's this.
Right.
You know, and I've talked to the GM people and stuff, and their crate motor program isn't even the best that they've got there, because they've got 15, 20 horsepower variants. But then you get back to the same thing. no two motors. You could build a motor exactly the same, put them both on the dyno, and one's going to make a little more power than the other. You can turn around in the same race car, same drivers. You know, no two people drive the same, no two motors work the same. But until they take this motor program and put it on like parts and then seal them and have those guys accountable for them, you're going to run into this all the way across the country. I mean, that's NHRA does such a good job with their structure. I mean, a lot of people don't like it, but this is the rules, period. They don't care how you get there. This is what the rules are. I mean, and that's what actually needs to happen in our short track programs. They need to get everybody on the same page because, you know, if you get all these guys build motors and get all these cars, then when these events come up, then you have more cars.
Well, and look at you. Now, you guys are up there in this very southern part of Georgia. You have a lot more dirt tracks in Georgia than you have asphalt tracks. And, Exactly. Now, what we've seen, and I know you've seen this too, is drivers throwing up their hands and saying, why should I go spend all this money on all this when for a little bit of money I can go dirt racing and have fun, which is after all what it's all about.
Yeah.
And we see that big time. We see that. Look, Mike Bresnahan, you know Mike.
Oh, yeah.
And he just went out. And he's the happiest man on earth right now.
Said it was the best race he ever had,
yeah.
The most fun he'd ever had in a race.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think Wayne Anderson just bought a dirt car.
Yes, he did.
As a matter of fact, he went and tested.
That's where all this motor stuff started. we were talking to him about his new dirt car.
That's how we got all on this thing. We were talking about his dirt. We called him up. We were having a conversation about his dirt car, and he got off on this motor deal. But, yeah, he ran 40 laps at Ocala recently, and he's still tied into asphalt, but you know it's costing the asphalt. We were just talking about is costing the asphalt tracks drivers now.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, I grew up on the dirt. I mean, James Powell and I, you know, did the dirt stuff.
Sure.
And the thing about it is, you can be under power on the dirt and actually be faster. You know, if you can't get a hold of it, then you ain't going anywhere. And you can go there, and it don't cost as much to run a dirt car and everything, just because a lot of the engineering effects haven't trickled down to the point to where a guy running a regular Saturday night can't be somewhat competitive. And on the asphalt, you know, between shocks and motors and chassis and this and that, you got to be on an A game when you go to an asphalt track.
Well, we were talking earlier. I mean, a lot of guys spend more money for practice for the weekend than they do for the actual race itself. When a dirt race, you know, like this past weekend, we did the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series at East Bay, and they each got 5 laps to go out there and practice, and they weren't really practicing. They were working the track in.
Yeah.
And it's been pointed out to us, Dennis, and it just makes no-brainer sense that when you have it like that, it actually evens out the field. Like the teams in asphalt that can go a few days early and get all that extra.
Rent the track.
Then they have all day practice on bunches of practice on Friday and so forth. The guys with more money have an advantage because they can spend all that extra time, tires and so forth. And, you know, it kind of evens the playing field, don't you think?
Well, and it does. And you know, that's like the deal with asphalt. You know, it goes back to the same thing. Money buys speed. It doesn't, no matter what you're in, or if you're racing shopping carts at the grocery store, whoever's got the most money is going to buy the best parts. But and when, like the deal with these pro late models and stuff like that, they put them on this crate motor, sealed motor deal from GM, but then they turn around and let them spend $6,000 on shocks. And
yeah.
I'm like, now wait a minute. Now y'all want to do this thing because you're trying to keep the expense down, and you take your $5,100 or $5,500 motor and go have it massaged, so now you got $12,000, and then you turn around and buy $6,000 in shocks. Now, what part of this program is not where it's supposed to be?
And exactly.
They're like,
Dennis, are you going to, are you going to get all the promoters together, sit them all down at a table, and let the promoters, we're going to get the promoters to have a promoter summit and fix this?
If we could get some kind of short track sanctioning body or something and get everybody kind of going in the right direction. It's not going to happen overnight, but get everybody going in the right directions, we'll get race cars.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when times are like this, when people can't afford to be doing a lot of traveling, you know, they're going to stay around their home track anyhow.
But sure.
This is the time to start working on it because these guys aren't leaving anyhow. So if you turn around and get this thing until we get whatever wino or whatever is going to be in the White House, till we get that person in that place, you know, if right now would be the time to work on this, because if we could get this motor program, we got the body and stuff like that program going, if we can get the motor program going the next year and stuff when people start loosening up with the money, these guys can go run other places because everything's alike, you know, but we'll see what happens. I'm one person. I ain't going to make all the change. And, you know, I'm kind of like a outcast in a sense because I can try some stuff just to see, but until they do something with the motor stuff, it's just a downhill battle in a sense.
Yeah, so what are some of the bigger events now you have coming up at the South Georgia Motorsports Park this year?
Well, we're going to have like six of those pro late model races. We're going to work on a super race a little later on. I'm working on a deal that's in between. I want to do something like the All-American 400 in November, then skip a week, then come to us, and then skip a week and go to Five Flags for the Snowball Derby. Then at the beginning of next year, I want to work on some things. We tried like a little speed week deal. So, you know, and then we got ADRL and some of the big drag events taking place. So we got some things that we're working on, and we're just going to keep plugging.
All right. Good deal, man. Do you have something else, Rick?
No, I'm good.
All right, Dennis. Dennis Nixon from Southeast.
So I opened the can of worms about the motor deal.
Well, it just, you know.
It's a continuing can of worms.
I tell you, it's like I don't have hardly a day goes by, literally, that I don't end up in a conversation with somebody around the country about it. Just, I mean, and it just comes up. It's not something we're looking for.
Well, you know, the one thing that's the same in every conversation we have is everybody always says they got to do something.
Yes.
Well, we got to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's like I'm working on some things that when we do our first super race, I'm going to have some things in line. I'm going to see how it works. You know, I don't mind being out there. If it takes me making the first step and doing it, then so be it. We'll make the first step, you know. You're only going to have one guy happy with you in the night anyhow, and that's the guy that wins.
So the night we have the debate between Wayne Anderson and Don Nerone, will you be listening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll listen. That'll be a good one.
Well, from what I understand, it might be coming.
Oh, well, just let me know when it comes because I am going to be listening.
All right, Dennis. Good talking with you, man.
Thanks for being on the show, Dennis.
Hey, it was great talking with y'all, and come see us at the races.
All right, man.
Will do.
See ya.
All right.
Dennis Nixon from South Georgia Motorsports Park up near Valdosta, Georgia.
Well, you know.
Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series win at Golden Isle Speedway over there.
Right.
That story right there, they misspelled Lucas.
Oh, sure does. Sure did. And that's from Lucas himself, right?
I don't know where that came from. But that's sure misspelled.
How about that? Lucas.
We're doing editing from across the room. You know what's the most aggravating thing about doing the editing and running race stories, Rick, is that, you know, I have no problem. It's cool when somebody lets you know right away that, hey, you got a story, guys got a story up with misspelled word in it.
Uh-huh.
The ones that really get to you are the ones that have been up for 3 weeks, and you catch it yourself,
yeah,
and nobody did. And
I just caught today, as a matter of fact, my pre-race deal for the race at East Bay this past weekend. I spelled a word wrong right in the title.
Yeah, it's aggravating, man, because you wonder how many people looked at that and thought, boy, I'm a dummy, and didn't say anything to you, you know?
Well, I went and checked, and it's printed all over the Internet.
But you see that. I'll tell you, you sit and watch the scanner, the little thing on CNN, that scroller that goes under the bottom. There ain't a week goes by that I don't catch words in there misspelled. And those guys are getting the big bucks. So
yeah, I misspelled Raceway.
I guess it's – oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break, and if I can find the right buttons to push here, we're going to come back with we're going to go to Friendship Speedway.
All right.
Up in the Carolinas.
From the asphalt to the dirt.
Yeah.
ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fastlane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Tim Brink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to Five Star Race Car Bodies. Five Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, Five Star has one driving passion: to help you win. Five Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at fivestarbodies.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you,
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, we're back to Real Racing USA Live. Once again, we got to thank Pandora Jewelers, proud sponsor of the Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month this past month. It was Jeff Beierstein. Jack, who have we got on the line with us right now?
We're going back dirt racing again.
All right.
We're going back dirt racing.
We're definitely going back dirt racing, right?
Yeah, Dennis Wood and Phil Hall from Friendship Speedway up in North Carolina, or down in North Carolina, depending on your point of view, or over in North Carolina. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing
Holy cow. This sounds like we're on a we have a conference call going here.
We do?
Yeah, absolutely. So are y'all are going back? How did the decision come? I mean, I guess Friendship's been asphalt for 5 years or something, paved, and now you're going back to dirt. How did this decision come about?
Well, it was a lot of support from the community. I've been involved with it since it was first dirt track back in like 80, 81. And then in 2003, I believe it was 2002, 2003, they paved it, and the response from the community and several of the racers and all, they said, you know, we love Friendship, but we want to go back dirt. So Phil and I had discussed it. We discussed it several times, and then last fall, after a lot of discussion with the owners, they decided, you know, that it would be a bad idea. So all we had to do is make sure we could get the lease and come up with the money to put the dirt on there. And so far, we're rolling. We've got about 2 or 3 days possibly to finish up with the dirt. And we'll be ready to put a car or two on it to check it out and make sure it's going to be okay.
Was the track closed for a while?
No, never closed.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
It opened constantly for, and I was trying to think, it's either 80, 81 sometime in that area when my brothers actually built the track.
Well, okay.
And I raced here for years, and Phil raced here for years, and it was just one of those things where my brothers wanted to get out of it, and they did. And it changed hands a couple, three times while it was dirt. And then the guys from Asphalt, a group of guys from Western Salem, wanted to make an asphalt track out of it. So they purchased it and put the asphalt on it. It's a beautiful track with asphalt, but as I'm looking at it with dirt, it's more beautiful to me than asphalt.
Now, did you put the dirt on top of the asphalt?
Yes, we did. We'd consulted with quite a few people, made sure we had our act together, and we've got it all done but a couple of corners in the straightaway, and we've got some real pretty red clay. Of course, we've had quite a bit of rain here lately, and it's so sticky out there, it's hard to even do anything on the track.
Now, how thick of a dirt surface do you have to put on that so you can keep it?
Well, it really doesn't matter if you pack dirt in, but for an example, we started at about 16 inches at the inside wall and went to 30. You've got to understand that you've got to see it before you understand it, but if you've got enough dirt anywhere and you have it compacted, then it's not. We've had several rainstorms, and it's really, it hadn't washed at all. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we haven't, knock on wood, cross our fingers, we had about 2 or 3 inches of rain over the weekend, and all we saw was a little muddy water run inside the inside walls, and no dirt's moved. It's still right where it was.
Where is Elk in North Carolina?
Elk in North Carolina is in the northwest Piedmont, about 30, 40 miles west of Winston-Salem and about 75 miles north of Charlotte.
I gotcha. Okay.
Let me ask you this.
It's a hotbed of racing, you know.
Sure enough.
Let me ask you this. Now, what kind of an asphalt car count did you have, and what was the reaction to those guys when you decided to go back to dirt?
Well, let me answer the reaction before I do the other one. It was one of those that a few of the guys were very sad because they loved racing at Elkin, and some of the guys that raced on asphalt took the cars back home and changed them over. They're going to be racing on dirt now. We also got quite a few people that parked their cars after they were running dirt, and they're going to pull them back out now and refresh them and go back to dirt.
Well, yeah, that's what, like we talked earlier about, Ocala Speedway in Florida just recently did what you're doing, and I mean their first night, I think they had something like 40 hobby stocks show up and
43 late models. And,
yeah, it was crazy.
It's been outstanding.
Guys come out of the woodwork. They lost a few to the other tracks. Guys who didn't want to go back to dirt or had never raced on dirt actually, and didn't want to do it. But I think for every one they lost, they probably gained three.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're looking for. I'm hoping that we have as many fans as he did. If we have as many fans as Ocala did, we'll be standing room only, probably 10 or 12 deep. But as far as cars, we're looking for a big car count the first night. And I understand we're paying a little higher purse for our crate motor class. And I think that's going to draw some people. And there's going to be some of those racers that come in here that, you know, they just don't want to race at Elkin. I mean, and that's very understanding to me. And I just hope we level out in a couple of weeks at a good fan count and a good car count. That's, you know, I'm not looking for 30 or 40 cars every week in one class. I mean, you know, 18 to 20 would be a boom to us.
Yeah, exactly. What now, besides late models, what other classes are you going to run?
We're going to run the late model fast track crates, of course. We're going to run a super street class, a four-cylinder class, and a U-car class. And then we've got some super late models. We've got, I think there's eight nights. We've got those guys coming in here. And then we have the Carolina class super late model touring series. It'll be in here at least once, possibly twice. We've got one date, and we're just waiting to see about the other date.
Now tell everybody what the configuration of the track is.
It's actually, there's been quite a bit of controversy about how big is Friendship. We've measured it on the outside and it comes up 4/10. We've measured it on the inside and it comes up 3/8. We measured right in the middle and it's like 0.389. So that's basically what it is.
There you
go. It's a C-shaped track. It was even smaller than that, and they expanded the back stretch to make it sort of a D shape.
Any banking to the track?
Excuse me?
Is there any banking?
Yes. We'll have, hopefully we'll have some good banking. We've looked at it and refigured some stuff, and we're hoping to come up to 12 to 14 degrees.
That's pretty good banking. Yeah. You're an ASA member track?
Yes, we are.
Now, how does that pay off for you?
Well, our relationship with ASA so far has been just great. Dennis has been just overwhelmingly great with helping us to get everything lined up so we can get our first race started, and hopefully we'll do okay. He's a heck of a nice guy. He really is interested in this sport, and he don't care what you race on. He loves racing.
Yes, speaking, of course, of Dennis Huth, the owner of
ASA American, Member Track. Yeah,
American Speed Association Member Track Program. And, that's something that seems to be catching on, and there's new tracks coming into that game all the time. What's the difference between your super late model dirt cars and the late models? What's the difference?
Engines. I'm thinking somebody was telling me that the crate motors come up with about 350 to 400 horsepower or so, and the super late models are probably pushing 700 now.
Amazing.
Let me ask you a question. How come the dirt late models can keep their engine programs all under control like they seem to be doing, and they're prospering? You know, I work for a series that's just starting, and we're getting 40-plus cars. Winter Nationals down here, we'll guarantee 80 to 100 cars, yet the asphalt guys just can't seem to get it together.
Regulations. That's my pet peeve about the asphalt guys.
Regulations.
Yes, you're regulated to do just so very little. If your numbers don't match, you got to have this certain carburetor. If you don't do this, and it's just, the dirt guys, they can go to the cup teams around here and pick up some parts, and or they can go to the big engine builders, and they'll build a good engine, and it'll last for a while, a long while. But when you go to your asphalt, you know, you've got a race car, but you try to choke it down, and I don't understand that.
What do you mean, choke it down?
Well, you're talking about two-barrel carburetors, small four barrels. When you get that going, you can run only so much compression. Just little things like that.
So there's too much regulation is what you're saying?
I'm thinking, no, not too much, but enough to really keep the guys from racing and building the engines like they want to and get out there and really put on a good show. I'm sorry, I don't have anything against asphalt racing. I love it. I've been working with it here for 5 years. I've stayed here to track and sold tires, and I've got to the point where I love it. But when you when you're racing and you pull him up beside a car and you run about four laps trying to pass him, that to me, that's just a little bit, you know, the cars are just, you know, it's just a little bit too regulated for me. If you can pull up on a quarter panel of a guy on dirt, nine times out of ten, you're going to pass him.
So now we're talking here with Dennis Wood and Phil Hall from Friendship Speedway in North Carolina. Recently decided to go back to dirt racing instead of the asphalt where the track had been. You guys both race still? Do you still both race?
No, I've never raced. I've owned a car for several years and then finally decided that I would try another end of the sport, and that would be some tires and parts and gas. Instead of paying out all the time, I was getting some money in. But Phil had been racing for a very long time, a real long time. Now, I don't know how you asked Phil that question, how long he's been.
How long you been racing, Phil?
Well, not quite as long as Red Farmer, but a long time.
In other words, there's some black and white pictures of you with a race car.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the test, isn't it? There has to be some black and white pictures of it. That's a good one. So, Phil, you concur pretty much, I guess you concur, obviously, with what Dennis has said to this point. How do you think? You think it's going to be a big success? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I mean, the people around here are sort of starving for racing. With the economy being bad, I think the local people are going to come in. I think we're going to have a good show with this red clay. And like I say, those fast track plate models, they don't cost as much as running those cars to do the super. So I think it's going to be real huge around here.
Now, when do you guys start? When is this first race?
We practice on April 22nd, Tuesday night, and race that Saturday night the 26th.
Saturday the 26th. What kind of promotions and whatnot do you have going for this deal?
Well, we got a lot of one local radio station around here, 101.9. They're going to be real strong with us. WTQR, which is in Winston-Salem, a lot of news people and newspaper knowledge coming in pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I'll tell you, one of the things, I don't know if Mike Peters down at Ocala told you about it or not, but one of the things that really helped them was exactly what you're talking about, the radio stations in the local area and the newspapers. And as luck would have it, or planning would have it, they had a great front page story in the Ocala newspaper come out on Saturday, the day of, or Friday, the day of the race, the first race, front page story with pictures. And that certainly didn't help. Or, you know, that didn't hurt a bit.
Believe it or not, Mannery in Ocala, the Mannery News here in Surrey County, right close to us, the lady told me the same story today. They're going to do a big thing on the Friday, the day before the race. So
there you go.
Did one of Norfolk's burnest surrounding areas them days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it was an awesome sight up there at Ocala that night. Over 4,000 people in the grandstands. Huge car count. It was just overwhelming.
Yeah, hopefully you guys will pull off the same thing.
Well, me too. My banker really wants me to.
I'm sure he does. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we'll help get the word out for as best we can. We'll talk it up, and man, we wish you the best. We'll get back with you later on, and after you've opened and got her going, and we'll talk to you guys again. Maybe talk to some of your drivers.
That'd be great. And if you're ever in North Carolina, give us a call. We'll give you the VIP treatment when you come up.
Well, we certainly do.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, we come to North Carolina several times a year, and we look forward to coming up there. And man, really appreciate that offer, and we'll certainly take you up on it, Dennis. And
hey, now you know what the VIP treatment is right now, don't you?
What's that?
A hot dog and a Pepsi.
Oh,
well,
right.
That's the don't you have now? Do you have fried bologna sandwiches at your track?
We certainly do.
But that's not part of the VIP package, huh?
You know, maybe we'll split one.
All right, Dennis. You and Phil go get them, man, and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right, looking forward to hearing from you again. You know, I think you're going to see more and more of this, Jack. I really, really, really do. You know, especially the tracks that started out. Now, I'm wondering now, I haven't heard, but how many tracks have actually started this asphalt and gone to dirt?
started as asphalt and gone to dirt.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's a big deal, man. For tracks that were dirt going back to dirt, you know, that seems like a no-brainer. You're just like, you know, like in this case up there, I'm sure a lot of people are going about the people who paved it. They're probably thinking, what were those people thinking anyway? You know, but you know, that's an easier proposition to take a track. Well, like, you know, close to here, you got Charlotte County.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to think that if Charlotte County were turned into a dirt track,
I think it'd be huge.
Well, I think it would be just off the charts, enormously
successful.
Huge. But I'm not the one having to gamble
the $100,000 gamble,
the money to do it. But and that's true. I'm sure that's all over.
Oh,
the country,
I mean, Leroy Davidson, who built the track, told us many times that his original thought for that track were to be a dirt track.
Well, and he should have done that because he was a dirt late model driver.
Right.
He should have done that. He probably was thinking of something else, you know, at the time because. Mm-hmm. You know, having raced dirt late models all over West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee. And
dirt wasn't that big down here then.
Pennsylvania, no, it wasn't. It was not.
At that time.
Not that way down south. So it's always been an asphalt thing. Of course, times they are changing.
Yep.
I think we heard that before. We're going to take a quick break and come back with we have two more really good guests coming up. Johnny Van Dorn and a CRA late model driver extraordinaire who's actually driving for Tim Steele. And Jay Middleton, who came in second, and we're going to chide him a little bit on why he didn't win the ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour race last Saturday. Think we can get away with that? We'll give him a little...
Give him a little push.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fastlane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Tim Brink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to Five Star Race Car Bodies. Five Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, Five Star has one driving passion: to help you win. Five Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at fivestarbodies.com.
And we're back from that quick commercial break. With us right now, winner of the All-American 400, and many other accolades. Let's hear it for Johnny Van Dorn. Johnny, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. It's great hearing from you, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started, and that.
Well, like a lot of other racers out there right now, started racing go-karts when I was 8 years old, locally, and then started the traveling deal, the WKA stuff. When I was 12, I started racing cars on dirt. Got a special insurance deal to do that.
Where was that?
That was Winston Motor Speedway. and Crystal Motor Speedway. I did Winston for 2 years, and then I did Crystal for 2 years. Wow. So just three-eighths mile tracks in Michigan here. And when I was 16, I moved to Berlin Raceway, started in the Outlaw late models, and I ran Berlin for 3 years, pretty much full-time. My third year, I kind of ran part-time. But those 3 years were pretty much disastrous. Well, not really disastrous, but more learning than anything. And last year was my fourth year racing late models, and finally started getting some stuff going, some good sponsors. Was able to win my first feature at Berlin, and then the very next week got hooked up with Tim Steele, and I don't know, that's where things really started rolling for me when I got hooked up with Tim Steele. And
That's a pretty good hookup, Johnny. That's a pretty good hookup.
Definitely is.
You know, a lot of people are talking all over the internet and stuff, but probably one of the best asphalt late model races of the year last year was the All-American 400. What was that like?
Well, I was coming off the Winchester 400, you know, a couple weeks before, and the Winchester 400 was my first, you know, pit stop race, you know, race longer than 250 laps, and that was kind of an eye-opener. Then we went, you know, that, I was kind of nervous about the Winchester 400 because I didn't know if physically if I could do it and, you know, to be able to stay in it because the track, you know, the race being as long as it is and the track being as treacherous as it is. So once I got that out of the way, it was kind of a big relief. So going into Nashville, it was, I don't know, it was just kind of wasn't as stressful as the 400 was, and of course the points deal was done too, so I could just kind of focus on hammering down. And I don't know, man, we just unloaded fast and we qualified good. The car was good all weekend. Didn't really ever have any close calls. I had good pit stops. Everything just went smooth. I mean, if it could go right, it went right for us that weekend.
That's awesome, man. I'm looking at your website right now. You got some pictures on here. You out there motocrossing in the snow.
Oh, yeah. That's something we do up here on the ice when the lakes freeze over. In the wintertime, we take dirt bikes and stud tires up, and then we race on the ice.
Wow, that's some wild stuff right there. Now, you said you started out in the dirt, on the dirt, and,
yep,
and you moved to asphalt. What was that transition like?
It really wasn't that big of a difference. People ask me that all the time. I'm glad I started out on the dirt because, you know, you learn to drive a loose car and a car that ain't hooked up like it is on asphalt, and, you know, you're able to adapt to when your car isn't handling all that well. But the biggest thing was the G-forces, you know, being so hooked up in the track, and the speed obviously is, you know, you're definitely going a lot faster in asphalt. But other than that, it wasn't really all that big of a transition as much as I thought it was going to be.
Huh.
So what's it like working with Tim Steele?
He's definitely a character. I don't know if anybody or any of you guys have ever dealt with Tim Steele, but he's one of them guys that will do whatever it takes, however it needs to be done, to win. He's probably, of the car owners out there right now, he's probably the one with the biggest desire to win and will do whatever it takes.
It's the way he drove.
And that's the way, exactly, that's the way he drove and got her done. And, you know, we go to track like Winchester or something, and we'll be practicing, and he'll come over the radio, move up a foot. You don't bring that car in until you scrape the wall in 3 and 4, and that's just something you weren't exactly used to doing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. So is he a tough taskmaster for you?
Not really, because he's what I am in a car owner. You know, I got a big desire to win, and, you know, I want to do what it takes to win, and he does the behind-the-scenes work to do that. And, you know, as long as I do my job 110% every time I go out the track, there's never any problems.
Yeah, he had to be a happy guy at Nashville.
So, yeah, I don't know if Rick covered this. I was out of the studio here for a few minutes while you were talking with Rick, but we're talking here with Johnny Van Dorn, by the way. Now, you were the CRA Rookie of the Year last year, is that correct?
Yep.
And now you're going to race that whole deal this year again?
Yep.
You're obviously going after the top notch on that one, huh?
Well, yeah. The way things started out last year, I ran, I think, 4 races on my own deal, my own family budget, whatever, in the CRA series before I got hooked up with Steele. And my first 4 races, it's not that we didn't perform well, but just bad luck. I mean, we started out in Nashville and got wrecked for no reason. And then the next race, we had something break up the car. Then the next race, I got wrecked under caution. And then this and that, and the oil line broken this and that. And then, you know, so we started out in a hole big time.
Sure.
But then once I got hooked up with Steele, it's just like, I don't know, flick of the switch, and everything started clicking. And, you know, of course, he had a lot of resources that he brought over with him, obviously.
Yeah, so why did you guys... You know, why did the decision to go with the CRA? I mean, obviously you could run just about any touring series you wanted to. Why the CRA?
Well, for one thing, I was already in the CRA series. And two, to do a deal, you know, like an ARCA deal, the technology changes so much. And the equipment that he had was so outdated from when he was on his game. And if he does something, he don't do it, you know, half but. It's all top-notch equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I already had a CRA car that was a good car. And it was something that was, you know, financially somewhat more reasonable than doing an ARCA deal. And
sure.
It was just the best route at the time.
Sure. That's cool. So how many races do you run in that deal? Is there a lot of races or?
I think there's about 15 or 16 this year. Last year there was I think only 12 or 13, but they added a couple more for this year.
Yeah. So now what do you run besides that? I know you're going to be in a car sometime besides those 15 races.
We got 2 outlaw cars that we run at tracks: Kalamazoo, M40. Toledo, Dixie, they're all tracks that run Outlaw. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Outlaw cars.
No, what is an Outlaw late model?
It's basically a late model, a super late model, but with a wedge-style body on them.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we had those down here.
Cool.
Those were what they ran at Sunshine, but they weren't super late models. So.
Right.
And almost looked like a dirt late model, right?
Exactly. Pretty much like a dirt late model with a windshield, and they're lighter than a Temple body late model, and they got... They're wider, they're way more faster, a lot more fun too, guys. But we do a lot of that racing up here, and we'll probably do 10 or 12 of them shows up here.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Keep you sharp.
Oh yeah.
they rained the race at Nashville rained out this past weekend, did it, or a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
And are they going to make that up? Do you know?
Supposedly, I heard they're going to make it up July 4th weekend.
All right, and you got the race coming up at Anderson. That's a wild little racetrack.
Yeah, that's one of them deals where you qualify good, and then they invert, so you start in the mid-pack, and then you get wrecked by lap cars. And then if you qualify halfway decent, you catch the invert, start in the pole, and win the race. That's kind of a luck deal there.
There you go.
You got this all figured out.
Yeah, he does. There's a reason Tim called him up.
Well, there's only reason is because I qualified second there last year, the first time I went there, and they inverted like a 7 or something. I started way back and ended up getting taken out by lap cars. Went there the second time for the 250 lapper, and I qualified 7th, and I was just ticked off. I mean, qualified 7th out of 30 cars, you'd think I'd be happy, but I was just frustrated, ticked off. They ended up inverting the 7, started on the pole, and won the race.
So it's either... Wreckers or checkers at Anderson, right?
Pretty much. It ain't looking so good, though. They're calling for 60% chance of rain and snow Saturday. So
rain and snow?
Yep. High of 41.
Rain and it's, snow.
It's a rough start to the racing season up north.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, I'm glad we talked with you, man. And what is the plan? Do you got a sort of map, a roadmap laid out for yourself for the next few years, or are you just going to see what comes?
Well, right now I'm dedicated to steel, racing with steel. We are hoping to do a couple ARCA races this year, get a couple good ARCA cars going. We got some really good sponsors with us, HSDI, VisiCAD CAM, and TSC Technologies, and they've been real good with us, and hopefully they can support us to get us some good ARCA equipment. But as far as next year's go, I definitely say we're going to move up to something. What it is, I don't know, but I don't know.
There's a little racetrack, Johnny, down in Florida, a little place you might have heard of it. It's over there, what's it called, Daytona?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about that place? Is that where you want to go? You want to go there?
Well, go where I want to go and where I will go are two different things. I mean, I would definitely like to make it all the way to the top, but, you know, you've got to take it day by day and hopefully catch my break someplace like I caught it with steel.
Yeah, you can get over in one of them ARCA cars on Daytona, man. They fly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tim tells me stories all the time.
I'm sure he does. We wish you the best, man, and, who's sponsoring you this year?
HSDI. They've always been with Tim for years. VisiCAD CAM and TSC Tool Technologies. They're all longtime sponsors of Tim. And, of course, Port City Race Cars. That's where I work full-time, and they take care of us, too.
Oh, really? You work with Port City full-time? That's your job?
Yep.
Oh, cool. So you're around it all the time?
Yep. I work 40 hours on it, and then I get out of work and work on it again. And the weekend I race it, so pretty much eat, sleep, and breathe it.
Good for you, man. Keep having fun.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Johnny Van Dorn. He's full of energy, man. I can see why Tim Steele picked that guy up, man.
He got a great attitude.
Yeah, he does.
Great attitude. Rick, you got a couple pieces of news over there or something? I know you got some.
Well,
more.
Your favorite website, Speed 51.
Yeah.
You know,
do a very good job.
Yeah, dude. Had winners of the 51 Short Track Racing of the Year. And let's see, their Short Track Rookie of the Year was Joey Logano. No surprise in that one. Best Development Team was the Andy Santeri Motorsports. Let's see, Tim Bryant, Promoter of the Year for... you know, he puts on the snowball derby.
You can't argue that.
Yeah, you can't argue with Tim Bryan at all. Clay Rogers, worst luck of the year. He had a couple of things go wrong for him. Short track bad boy driver of the year. Let's see who they, of course, who else? Kyle Busch. And driver who deserves a shot in the big leagues now is Nathan Hasselou. Need to get him on the show. And the driver with the funniest name is Rusty Ball. They got a lot of awards here on speed51.com. Of course, the big news this past week was the wreck by Michael McDowell. My God, this kid, you know, and he moved into Ruderman's 00 machine. And he had a lot of laps practicing, but he really hadn't had a lot of racing experience in these cars. And
who's that?
Michael McDowell, the kid who wrecked David Ruderman's former ride. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
The crash.
Are you talking about NASCAR?
NASCAR, the crash for the in practice.
Do you know the last time I watched a NASCAR race?
Well, it was on regular news, Jack.
Really?
I mean, this wreck was horrendous.
Oh, I heard about it, but I still have not seen it.
Horrendous. It was like he made a right turn going 200 miles an hour and hit head-on into the wall and then flipped the car five or six times. It caught on fire. He climbed out of the car, waved to the crowd, raced the next day.
Yeah, that's right. The car of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The car of today. The sprint car series, right?
The sprint car series. Full-bodied race cars that they call the sprint car series. Anyway, the racer of the year at Speed 51, voted by the fans, was Joey Logano.
Did they just now announce that?
I think that just came up today or yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
What is this? This is like...
April.
April?
Yeah.
And this is last year?
Yeah, 2007. I'm not exactly sure when exactly this came out, but it's the first time I've noticed it.
Oh, I got you.
March, early part of March.
Yeah.
Early part of March is when they did that.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of stuff to tabulate, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, lots of tabulations and things like that.
All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to we wanted to talk to Jay Middleton, who raced in the ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour, came in second. And we were trying to get a hold of Bo Slocum earlier today. We couldn't get a hold of Bo. So I guess we struck out on that one. But tonight we talked to a bunch of different people, man.
Yeah, we did. God. We were all over the place.
And but we'll get a hold of some of those guys from the ASA Asphalt
Southeast Tour
next week. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, you never know where all that's going to go.
Yeah, one real quick note.
Okay, we got to do fact check. We need a fact check person to listen to our show, you know, a BS spotter.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need somebody like that.
After
last week's show, I think that would just be so cool. We go, okay. And then, like, maybe Scotty Mack could be our BS
meter. Yeah,
that'd
be a good guy.
You know what I mean? Or Skip Wall from Southern Motor Racing.
Well, one of the few racetracks left in Maine closed.
No.
Yes.
Not Beach.
No, Unity Raceway. Unity Raceway and Unity Maine announced Tuesday that it will suspend its 2008 racing season and that the track is now available for lease or purchase.
Well, it's a tough nut. You know, it really is a tough nut. And things change, the world changes. And but, you know, there's still lots of places in America where motorsports and stock car racing, drag racing, so forth and so on are
thriving.
So. Yep. You know, and frankly, I mean, really, Rick, it comes down to, I think a lot of, you know, we don't look at it. We don't live in a black and white world anymore. The pictures are all in color and they're instant. And I'll tell you something to give you something. This is something for people to think about. Just a thought occurred to me last night on, we were doing the Inside Florida show, Inside Florida Racing, which is on Monday night. And, the thought occurred to me, and I pointed out to CC Brooks, our co-host, information, we have so much information now that information has become less valuable.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that just had never struck me quite that way, but it really has. It's, you know, we have so much news available now.
Not at an instant.
In an instant.
Yeah.
And on message boards and on websites and though we have less racing news in papers and in print, we have a lot more on television.
Yeah.
A lot more on radio, over the radio airwaves, and a lot more on shows like this.
Yeah.
And a lot of on printed on internet sites.
Right.
And it's so much easier for fans to access the news. It's not as valuable as it used to be.
Not at all. You know?
Which is an interesting thing in a time when, when it's an interesting concept there with the tracks, racetracks of all kinds, facing a lot of struggles and tough competition from all kinds of other sorts of entertainment.
Right.
And yet we have more news, and there's something about that that just doesn't.
It's odd.
It's odd.
It's very odd.
It's a conundrum.
It's a conundrum.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's a conundrum. What is not a conundrum is tomorrow night, the O'Reilly ASA Late Model Fast Lane, which is going to be changing soon.
Huh?
From what I understand, there's going to be some changes with that show.
That's what I hear.
And also tomorrow night, Straight Line with Stevie, drag racing, 200, 300 miles an hour.
Crazy stuff.
Insane.
Crazy stuff.
Thursday night, Southeast Dirt.
Weekly.
Yeah, that's it.
Southeast Scotty Mack.
Friday night is Full Throttle Friday, which is a show from Charles County Motorsports Park. And we always tell people, if you want a racetrack, if you want a show at your racetrack, call us.
Yeah, we can do it.
Call us.
We
email
can do
us.
It.
We can help make it happen. That's what we do.
Email addresses are all over realracingusa.com. And, of course, you just post it on the message board. We're easy to find there, too.
Well, somebody called me today. Called.
corporate headquarters number.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't log into there.
Oh. That's all.
Real Racing USA.
We'll see you next Tuesday night right here at 7 to 9 p.m.